This episode of The Apartment Guys is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seymour interviews high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your career to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your host, the apartment guy, Tate Seymour.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. Don't know why I'm singing. I've never done that before. Probably won't ever do it again, but I hope that you guys get a lot out of this episode. It is a great episode, if I do say so myself, that gets deep into a subject that is very, very sexy when you look just under the hood, and it's cost segregation and bonus depreciation, which are both aspects of apartment building investing that are massive tax advantages that are game-changing, really, and come with no other type of asset, stocks, bonds, anything else. The ability to depreciate property and to do so quickly in the first year now is, there's Joey saying hi to everybody, is unbelievable in terms of a vehicle to building towards building wealth. And we go deep into that here in this episode. If you enjoy it, I hope you do, please leave a rating and review on the platform of your choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening to this on. I would really appreciate that. It means a lot to me, and it helps us get this message out to wider and wider audiences. And with that, let's just jump in with Mr. Yona Weiss, cost segregation expert, and just all in all, great guy and super successful entrepreneur. So enjoy.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Another episode of The Apartment Guys, where we get to talk with both guys and gals about all things multifamily investing. Today we have a rock star who's in a huge demand today. I think I'm appointment number 4 out of 5 on his travel calendar. And Yona Weiss is, like I say, is a highly sought after expert in the field of multifamily real estate. And we'll talk about his specialty and his superpower here in just a minute. But Yona is a powerhouse with property owners tax savings, specifically as business director at Madison Specs, a national cost segregation leader. He has assisted clients in saving tens of millions of dollars on taxes through cost segregation. He has a background in teaching and a passion for real estate and helping others. He's a real estate investor and host of a new, very good podcast I highly recommend called Weiss Advice. And this is Mr. Yona Weiss himself. Really appreciate you being here, sir.
Pleasure, Tate. It's a pleasure to be joining you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see Yona has the Wasatch Mountains behind him, as do I. So we have matching backgrounds pretty much. And that's so fun for you to have found a good picture of Utah. We are here in Utah, Greenlight. My office is here in Utah. And Yona, you are presently in Israel.
Yeah. So I'm making the virtual tour, as you mentioned, which I get to. The incredible thing about working remotely is you can be anywhere in the world. And I think that's an amazing thing that I've been blessed with recently. So just trying to take advantage and still working on American hours, which is challenging, but you get used to it after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just curious, before we dive in, do you spend much time over here stateside, so to speak?
Yeah, definitely do spend a lot of time in the States. Although with COVID you know, since the travel has been more difficult, at least was since the beginning of March. I haven't been in the States since March. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, we miss you.
I'll probably be back in a few weeks, probably my first trip.
Oh, good. This, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, before we get into cost segregation, which, you know, is actually a really fun topic, in all seriousness, to talk about, because it's one of the very compelling aspects of multifamily investing in particular. I just, Yona, I've listened to a lot of your podcasts and you being a guest on other people's podcasts, and you're such an expert, and you always jump right into your teaching. You're such a good teacher with this stuff. I just was hoping that you might give us a kind of a look behind the curtain into who you are and your background, where you grew up, that sort of stuff, and your roots in business.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I grew up in Southern California, so LA area, for those of you who know where San Fernando Valley is, and went to college in San Diego. Shortly thereafter, I actually moved to Israel. And it's been an incredible journey. I wasn't really into business or profession for a long time. I love teaching, and that was really for a profession. For me, it was just more like doing what I loved. And I think that is why I enjoy what I do now so much, because I've been able to integrate the things that I love, which is helping people, which is teaching, and just getting involved in real estate at the same time. I got involved in real estate about 5 years ago or so in the capacity of just trying to learn, really, figuring out what is this whole industry all about? Who are the main players? How can I get involved? And I found the best way to get involved in real estate is just to be open to learning and try to find people you can apprentice, that you can learn from, that have been doing it for a long time. And so I found a friend who had been in the commercial mortgage industry for a long time. And his uncle, who owned a boutique firm, had been doing it for 30, 35 years. I started working with him just side by side, just picking up the industry, how to underwrite, how to find deals, how to talk to banks, the whole nine yards. And for me, that was very eye-opening, just learning all the lingo. There's so much lingo in commercial real estate, right? Especially when you Absolutely. Get into the financing world, like the LTVs and the DSCRs and Yes. the, everything. So that was, just kind of got me involved in that. But I found after, a little while that multifamily specifically, the industry and the community, the people that are around it are just an amazing community, amazing people. And, by traveling, going to events and conferences and just being involved in social media with these platforms that are available to us with the podcasting and everything like that, just it's just so inspiring. Because the people that you surround yourself with are really, go-getters, people that are working on themselves as personal development, as well as people that care to give back. They're not just, you think about business, it's like the cutthroat and the Wall Street. There's none of that. I mean, it's around, don't get me wrong, but, and even like the kind of Hollywood image of the slumlord of real estate investors, owners, that also is very few and far between. And so it's just, eye-opening, and I enjoy it. So I'm also involved in real estate investing as well, multifamily investments. So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards and getting more involved as we come closer to the new year.
Well, you fit right into this thought leadership area, I think, in the multifamily space, because you're, as I was saying before we got started, you've got such a generous spirit about you in terms of your teaching and your sharing, and your desire to help others. And so again, thanks for being here, and thanks for being a part of the community. Like you said, I think this is an exceptional community, and the people that are the big players in the national multifamily scene are good people generally. Like you can't do this level of entrepreneurship without having a really high level of integrity. You might be able to get one or two deals done, but you're not going to last. You're not going to attract partners and investors, and you're not going to make it. So yeah, I think the caliber of human beings, like you say, people that are consciously working on themselves and making themselves better, trying to make each other better and make the community better. There is a remarkable culture of value add, I think, in this community. And I really appreciate it. I've been immersed in the community now for about 2 years myself. So I'm a little newer to it, but I can't speak highly enough about this space and how excited it makes me every day to get to be a part of it and working with high level people that are, number one, really know what they're doing. Number two, are gracious people that are just good entrepreneurs, good business people. It's really a joy. So yeah, on that, let's just kind of jump right into cost segregation. Let's kind of give us the thumbnail version of what cost segregation is and see if we can make this topic cool and fun for everybody.
Sure. Yeah. It's cool and fun for everybody, you know, once you learn about it, but for some people more than others. And so let's get that right out in front. If you're a real estate professional, meaning you're a broker or you own property, you're a manager, you're doing anything involved in the running of real estate, this is going to be most insightful to you because you get, you know, magical benefits when it comes to tax treatment. So yeah, let's just jump right in.
Right. You want to give us kind of the Yona Weiss definition?
Yeah, let's do it. The Reader's Digest version of cost segregation. In a nutshell, it's a tax savings that the IRS gives property owners for investing in real estate. And really what it is just depreciation, advanced form of that, meaning you can take more depreciation in the earlier years. That's how cost segregation works. So let's talk about depreciation for a second, just so in case our listeners aren't familiar with that term or aren't familiar with how it relates to real estate. Depreciation means something going down in value as time going on, right? But what it means in terms of real estate is a tax deduction the IRS gives you based on that principle that things are going. So they look at your property and say, well, it's going down in value. It theoretically is going down in value each year. So you can take a tax write-off of a little bit of that value every single year to offset your income tax. Nice gift, right? So, but that takes a very long time because you're taking your purchase price and you are dividing that by 27 and a half. That's how long a multifamily or residential property depreciates. Mm-hmm. Commercial property, it's over a 39-year schedule, so even longer. And you can get a little bit of deduction every single year. And guess what? That's amazing. First of all, that's amazing. Let's just talk about how amazing that is, because it means you're making money and you're actually getting a deduction, a write-off right off the top before you even get taxed. So you're not even getting a tax to get taxed on the entire income that you're making. However, with cost segregation, we're allowed to allocate. Really, we're putting things in different buckets. That's what we're doing. We're segregating the cost and saying there are actually certain things in the building that depreciate or, you know, go down in value, so to speak, as time goes on, in a faster rate. So personal property, for example, things inside the building that are not part of the structure, like appliances, furniture, carpeting, cabinets, all kinds of stuff, depreciate on a five-year schedule, which means you can take the value of those things, put it in that five-year bucket, so to speak, and take that tax write-off of the value of that stuff over a five-year period. So in a nutshell, that's exactly what we're doing. We are accelerating the depreciation of those assets to get bigger tax deductions in the earlier years, getting you more cash flow.
Right. So let's take it a step further and just kind of tackle the what bonus depreciation is and how that fits into what you just described.
Sure. Bonus depreciation was a law that came about in the recent tax reform in 2017, 2018. And what that did, it says that once you do a cost segregation study and you have allocated the different assets in the building into these faster depreciation lives, you now have the option to take the entire amount of it in the first year as what's called 100% bonus depreciation. So 100% of the value of those assets that depreciate faster than the structure, than the building, which can be in multifamily properties, usually between 25 and 30%. of your basis, of your tax basis, which means you buy a building for $1 million, about 25% of that or so is going to be in that first year bonus depreciation. You can literally take a $250,000 tax write-off in many cases in that first year.
Yeah. I mean, right there, guys, that's like, that's it. I mean, you just heard it. You buy a $1 million property and in year one, you're writing off $250,000. It's really almost, I mean, it's remarkable. It's, you know, almost too good to be true, but it's true. And it's too good to be true, I think, for the long haul. We can get your thoughts on that. But as far as, you know, how long will this, well, I'll just go ahead and ask you how long you think this is going to last now. And we have an election behind us at this point. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think it's too early to tell. In the books currently, this is going to start phasing out in 2023, which means the 100% bonus depreciation that you can take now will only be around for the next couple of years. 2023, it's going to go down to 80% bonus depreciation. You still have cost segregation, but the benefit of the bonus will go down. Whether or not that's going to change with a new tax reform, nobody knows. And again, that usually takes, even after a presidential election, usually takes a couple of years at least until they can get around to writing something up, getting something agreed upon, getting Congress to pass anything. And so I think we still have a couple of years to take advantage of this, either way you look at it.
So it's super important, listeners, that you obviously get with a tax professional and get your head around this and the implications of it and the ins and outs of it and the ups, you know, the pros and cons of it. But this is just, you know, an incredibly powerful financial tool that is unlike anything in any other asset class that I know of anywhere, that the IRS doesn't reward you for buying gold this way or bonds or, you know, so, you know, it's just a remarkable vehicle. And on top of that, it's a loss that carries over year to year, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So what that means, if you have more deductions than you have income. And so really that's what this is doing. You make income from your property. Okay. The income created from rental property is considered passive income. Mm-hmm. So if you're making, you know, let's say $50,000 a year from your rental property income, and you can get a $50,000 tax deduction from your depreciation. So that depreciation goes to offset that income. You pay zero taxes on your income. But if you have more deductions than you have income, so let's say you have $200,000, or in our example, $250,000 of depreciation from your bonus depreciation, you're knocking off that $50,000 of income, but the remaining $200,000 of deductions, that's create something called a passive loss. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, if you are a real estate professional,
right?
Key. You are treated differently than anyone else. So if you spend the majority of your time, you or your spouse, one of you spends the majority of your time in real estate trade or business, you can now take that extra $200,000 of deductions, in our example, if that's passive loss, and use that to offset your active income or any ordinary income that you have from any other source. Whereas if you're not a real estate professional, depreciation is specifically to offset rental property passive income. Passive deductions knock off passive income. Anything mm-hmm. beyond that is a passive loss, like you mentioned, Tate, carries over. It mm-hmm. you can use it next year. You don't lose it. You can use it in the future years, but you can't use any more of that in the current year.
Mm-hmm. So a real estate professional, by definition, someone who spends the majority of their time in the real estate world, a real estate agent, for instance, a full-time real estate investor, a developer. What about a passive investor, somebody that is maybe making most or all of their income from real estate investments? Are they considered real estate professionals typically, or are they able to be?
No, unfortunately not. If you have a W-2 job and you're working something, even if you're invested passively, you are not considered an active real estate professional. So you're limited, like I mentioned before, for those deductions to offset your rental property income. The good news is that if you have more than one investment, and so you have rental property income from multiple sources, maybe you own a few properties, maybe you're investing in a few deals, you can use those deductions or those losses to offset any of that income across the board, right? It's all in the same bucket.
Okay.
And the biggest, like, and you mentioned this before, the biggest benefit for a passive investor is, you know, find me one other investment vehicle that you can get your return on investment and that is coming to you with the consolidation applied to it tax free. I mean, that money you're getting is not taxed. So that's the biggest advantage for the real estate investment.
So for my listeners that are more in the passive investing lane, it's important to understand that what your advantages are in this arena when you invest passively in a syndication. Some syndications are different than others in the way they handle that. So it's a huge benefit potentially for investing in a real estate syndication amongst other, quite a few others, but it's one that, like I say, it's important that you understand going into into the investment, understand the PPM, understand how depreciation is going to be distributed. Because if I understand correctly, depreciation, if there's general partners, limited partners, can be distributed, I guess, in a way that is, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no predetermined way that it's necessarily distributed. Is that correct?
So you're correct. Yeah. Depreciation there, you know, the IRS doesn't have a predetermined way that it is needs to be allocated in an investment vehicle. However, once you have that PPM, once you have an operating agreement in place, that will determine what that allocation will be. The normal way of doing it, as far as normal, meaning the most common, I should say, way of doing it is that every investor has an equal, according to their investment, has the percentage of ownership of the property. And so based on the percentage of ownership, you get that percentage of the depreciation. Okay. So if you have a 10% stake in ownership in the property, you get a 10% of that overall depreciation year after year.
Right. Yeah. And that can be determined by reading the PPM and understanding that if you're a limited partner and you're putting in $100,000, how is that reflected in the PPM and what can you expect in the way of depreciation? And to cut to the chase, my understanding is that, a typical $100,000 investment in a lot of syndications, you can expect to enjoy sometimes $25,000-ish or so dollars in depreciation. Is that, Mike, in the ballpark there?
Yeah, minimally. So I think, I think even more. So that's amazing is that what's amazing about it is that oftentimes you can even have more of that, meaning you can invest $100,000 and even get in the first year, $100,000 tax write-off, meaning literally the entire amount that you invested, even though your returns are not going to be that at all, right? You're not getting 100% return in the first year, but what you are doing is getting 100% of that return of that tax write-off. And that happens specifically when you have a higher loan to value, a higher leverage ratio on the property, because your depreciation amount is determined on the purchase price, okay? Not on how much money and equity is put in the property. So you may have bought a $10 million building and the bank paid for 75% of that.
Yeah, okay? Right.
Investors are only putting in 25%, yet nevertheless, you get the tax benefit of that purchase price. You get the depreciation based on that $10 million. So that's incredible.
It is incredible. I mean, again, like, challenge anyone to show anything comparable to that in any other investment vehicle, any other asset class. It's just amazing. And it's what's amazing too is how few people really know about this. And that's why you're doing what you're doing and why we're doing this podcast is to help people, learn about what a powerful tool and vehicle this is. A massive amount of savings available in your tax burden. And so, there's so many reasons why I think it's like 95% of millionaires or billionaires have either made or store the majority of their wealth in real estate. And this tax this is one tax advantage, right? And it's not the only necessarily tax advantage that there is in this space available, but this is obviously a big one. And yeah, it's why exactly. Maybe somebody that has a whole portfolio of real estate all over the planet might be able to not pay taxes year after year, right?
100%. Yeah. As you said, there are a lot of different tax advantages, but this is probably the top one. This is the biggest. And this is why, like you're saying, people are creating wealth through real estate investing because they're creating that wealth and not paying tax on it. I mean, if anyone understands how compound interest works, this should be a huge light bulb going off in your head, right? If you're making, you make $100,000 and you're not paying any taxes on that, you can go ahead and reinvest that entire $100,000. Think about how that pays off over a year, five years, 10 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Good point. Really well said. All right. So let's look at downsides. Why would you not want to do COSEG? What are the cons or what situations would you not want to use it for?
I think one main reason is the benefit of consolidation is that you can offset your income tax with these depreciation deductions. If you're not making any income from your property, then it's probably not a good idea to do it, right? Because you don't need to create extra deductions that you can't use. I mean, think about it. Right. If you're not making money, you're just creating those passive losses, it's not worth it, right? What are you going to do with that? That's number one. Second thing would be let's talk about something called depreciation recapture tax, okay? And this is a tax that is paid when you sell a property. When you sell a property and you made money on it, you have something called capital gains tax. You have to pay a tax on the amount of gain. So too, when you have depreciated your property over a period of time, you've taken those deductions, you now actually have to pay a tax on the amount of depreciation that was taken. So to just correct any type of misnomer that people hear that depreciation recapture means I have to pay back the depreciation that I took. No, that's wrong. You're subject to a tax. Now I say subject to a tax because with all taxes come great strategies to get around those taxes. So it's important to note, consolidation is a great thing to do and it's part of a greater strategy. And especially if someone is investing in a lot of properties, not a lot, but necessarily, but if you're buying one property every year or, in the year that you sell a property, you can buy another one, whether or not through a 1031 exchange, you can actually use the losses from consolidation from one property to offset not only your income, but anything beyond that, also the recapture tax, also capital gains tax. So those things can be used as strategies in order to make sure that the tax you're subject to may not be able to be, may not have to be paid. However, I will say that since it's something that happens when you sell. So if you're selling within a very short period of time, a year, 2 years, you're buying, selling within a year or 2 years, that tax, you're going to be subject to it regardless, but to just get that tax benefit right away, if you don't have another strategy to offset that, you're going to get the benefits, the time value of money of getting those deductions this year, but in a year or two, you're going to have to be subject to that. It may not make sense in that situation as well.
Good point. So maybe is it more of a 3 to 5 year model that it starts to make sense?
Again, in a vacuum, 3 to 5 year model for property makes sense. But when you're using this as an overall strategy, as investing and scaling, so then it really doesn't matter because you can use one for the other.
Right. Yeah, it's so powerful. All right, so let's bring this down to a real life example. We just purchased a 20 unit apartment building this year that is a heavy lift value add. We paid $2.25 million for it, and we're going to be putting about $500,000 into it. And the plan right now is, like I said, we've got about a three to five year plan modeled out for it. So a couple questions. We have not yet started to kind of implement any sort of COSEG. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on today was very selfishly specifically to talk to you about this particular property and what you think we should be doing with it. but you know, we've got, my group has, let's see, I guess about 90% ownership in it. It's not a syndication. It's a JV basically. So yeah, that's kind of the scenario. What should I be doing right now?
First thing you want to do is to get what we provide always is a free estimate. Okay. So you can, and that's just going to help you in terms of strategizing and planning. What should I be doing with this? Okay. Cause that free estimate, that analysis will tell you upfront what my tax savings are going to look like if I do a full cost segregation study. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that's looked at first at the acquisition level. Okay. So we're looking at cost segregation first looks at the acquisition, at the cost. You bought a 20 unit, what's in there? How can we break that down? How can you get the depreciation? And we'll look at the purchase price, and then, you know, we'll look at the closing date, obviously, and then we can determine upfront what you can expect, okay, and how much that will cost to get it done. It's not contingent on your tax savings, but just what's our flat fee involved in that type of work. If you're doing major value add, as you described, major renovations, you can actually do an updated cost segregation on the renovations after they're completed. So there's two different stages here. There's number one, there's the acquisition. You're depreciating your property. The depreciation starts the day you place it in service, the day you bought it. Okay, so we determine the depreciation and broken down to the different components from day one. Okay, mm-hmm. And that will help you with taxes in that first tax year. The second stage is when you've done those major renovations, we can now go ahead and look at all the money that was spent. All that money spent on the renovations are depreciated. Those have to be capitalized, depreciated, and added to your depreciation schedule. However, unless you do a cost segregation of those funds, of, you know, that capital spent, it will just be lumped together, just like regular depreciation accountant would lump that together on a 27 and a half year schedule. But you can break that down and get the bonus depreciation, get the benefits on that as well.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool. So it sounds like there's two different stages in repositioning or a heavy value add that you'd want to have a cost seg study done. Are you just in that case? Are you just claiming the loss just the one time that in that year, or is it it's not a two-step loss, or is it? I'm sorry, I'm not totally following how that would be translate into taxes.
Sure. So when you're doing depreciation, right, your first stage is, right, your first step is you're getting that bonus depreciation. You're getting that from the first year. And so that's going to apply to your taxes this year and then going forward as well. Okay. When you do
it.
That second stage of the renovations, that only will be able to be depreciated once that's completed. Okay. So if that was done in the same tax year, so then it will be added all together into the whole project. But if it's done in a different tax year, then you would take the depreciation of that component of the renovations starting in that tax year, whenever that was done. If you did it, let's say you did it in year five, you decided to do major renovations, then you would take that as depreciation in that year.
So basically anyone, no matter how long they've owned an asset, if they are doing major improvements and repositioning, anyone should have a cost seg study done potentially, you know, no matter, even if you've owned it for 10 years.
Yeah. You can do it. Yeah. And you can go on the acquisition even, all right, going 10 years back, not just on those capital improvements.
Gotcha. All right. So when do you recommend getting you involved in the process?
It's good even when you're in due diligence, once you've gone under contract in a property, not to engage in the cost segregation per se yet, but to definitely get that analysis so you can already understand what's, you know, as part of your game plan, as part of your business plan going forward, what the tax benefits are going to be and how can I apply that? Because that's going to affect your investment, right? It's going to affect your IRR. It's going to affect what your real return is, not just what your net operating income is, but how much of that you're actually going to keep in your pocket, which means that's your overall returns.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once you've closed on a property, if it makes sense to do it in the first year, then, you know, you can engage during that first year. Make sure to get it done before you file for your taxes, so you can take advantage of that during that first year.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So what does somebody that like me who needs your help, obviously wants your help, what's my next step?
Check me out, find me, you can send me an email or you can go to my website. You can find me on LinkedIn and get that free estimate, because that's going to tell you upfront what you can expect and can have a conversation to understand how that will affect you and your property going forward.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, this has been just incredibly dense with great stuff. I mean, really, really good. I mean, for me personally, I can just tell you, like, this has been a kind of a game changing conversation. I've known about accelerated, you know, bonus depreciation and cost segregation, and have known that we had an opportunity with this particular property to do it. It kind of makes sense for where we are, you know, other properties notwithstanding. And so I already had it on my radar, but having it laid out so simply understood and in such a compelling way that really illuminates all the massive benefits and savings and ability to reinvest. And like you said, the time value of money, and the whole picture when you take a step back and look at it is really, really exciting. I think so. I appreciate you I think we made it fun and sexy, hopefully for people. You do a great job of teaching it, and really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And I'm glad we could, you know, shed some light on this somewhat mysterious topic.
Yeah. So listeners, check out Weiss Advice on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, W-E-I-S-S Advice, Weiss Advice on, it's a great podcast. And Yona has on lots of different types of people and talks about a large variety of things, not just cost segregation. That would be a relatively one-dimensional podcast. Not that's a bad thing. You got a niche, right?
Exactly. Everyone has their own niche. Yeah. We don't talk about cost segregation at all. In fact, the only time we did is I had one episode where I interviewed my boss who runs our company, Madison Specs. And that was the one episode where we did talk a little bit about cost segregation, but otherwise you're right. It's a great podcast. A lot of top people in the real estate industry that I'm just able to interview and just dig a little deeper on who they are, what makes them tick, what makes them successful. And awesome. Thanks again for having me, Tate. It's been a lot of fun.
And also connect with Yona on LinkedIn. He's a great LinkedIn connection. So yeah. And so am I, by the way. So connect with me on LinkedIn as well. Yona, thanks so much, man. I look forward to meeting you in person sometime down the road, hopefully at a conference, or if you make it out west to in the Utah area anytime, please let me know, and love to connect, and always let us know how we can ever be a contribution to you and what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's Salt Lake City is one of those places that it's on my list next time I'm heading out west.
Yeah. We'd love to show you around out here. So listeners, thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Apartment Guys. And I hope you have a real great, productive rest of your work day or work week. And we will catch you on the next episode. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Yona.
Thanks for listening to The Apartment Guys with Tate Seymour. Tate and friends are grateful to have you as a loyal listener. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, review, and share with friends on your Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. Also, check out Tate's YouTube channel for videos of many of these episodes and more. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.